From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. That you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Paul Arrives at Rome, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16. The Lord shut him in. Noah was shut in, away from all the world, by the hand of divine love. The door of electing purpose interposes between us and the world which lieth in the wicked one. We are not of the world, even as our Lord Jesus was not of the world. Into the sin, the gaiety, the pursuits of the multitude, we cannot enter. We cannot play in the streets of Vanity Fair with the children of darkness, for our Heavenly Father has shut us in. Noah was shut in with his God. Come thou into the ark, was the Lord's invitation, by which he clearly showed that he himself intended to dwell in the ark with his servant and his family. Thus all the chosen dwell in God and God in them. Happy people to be enclosed in the same circle which contains God in the Trinity of His persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Let us never be inattentive to that gracious call. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, and hide thyself as it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. Noah was so shut in that no evil could reach him. Floods did but lift him heavenward, and winds did but waft him on his way. Outside of the ark, all was ruin, but inside, all was rest and peace. Without Christ, we perish, but in Christ Jesus, there is perfect safety. Noah was so shut in that he could not even desire to come out, and those who are in Christ Jesus are in him forever. They shall go no more out forever, for eternal faithfulness has shut them in, and infernal malice cannot drag them out. The prince of the house of David shutteth, and no man openeth. And when once in the last days, as the master of the house, he shall rise up and shut to the door, it will be in vain for mere professors to knock and cry, Lord, Lord, open unto us. For that same door which shuts in the wise virgins will shut out the foolish forever. O Lord, shut me in by thy grace.
It was His grace that saved me. has bought me and brought me safe this far. This grace will lead me safely home. Twill be His grace that sustains me.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy.
Thank you.
In spite of Satan's attempts to destroy him through shipwreck, the soldiers' plan to kill all the prisoners on the ship, and a snakebite, God thwarted the devil's plans, and Paul was able to minister the gospel on the island of Melita. Once again, he was shown to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Today, we'll see the encouragement he received as he finally landed in Italy, for a number of believers met him and conveyed him to Rome. God had already prepared the way by raising up Christians in Rome prior to Paul's arrival. Now to continue this message, Paul arrives at Rome. Here is Dr. Cairns.
I find it inconceivable, although it's not the purpose of Luke to go into this in detail in Acts 28, I find it inconceivable that Paul could have prayed and laid hands and done miracles without the preaching of the gospel. I think probably this is the planting of Christianity in the island of Malta. And while today it has gone back to a form of paganism largely and has been under the sway of Romanism for a long time, nonetheless, this was the planting of the gospel in the little island of Malta. There was the first exhibition of God's favor and God's power among the heathen. There's just a practical note that you need to watch here, and it's this. Not only is there an exhibition of God's mercy to the heathen, not only in that is there surely an encouragement to Paul and an assurance that he's going to bless him among the Gentiles and among the heathen, but on a practical level, will you note again the welcome that Paul received from heathen people, whereas when he came to Rome, the more privileged Jews rejected him. Again and again you find this in the scriptures. And it's exactly what's happening today. Heathen, on the first or second hearing of the gospel, are embracing Christ. I think that across the world, the Lord only knows the statistics, but I think if you were to take activity across the world, you would find that proportionately, the heathen are welcoming the gospel with open arms, while so-called Christian civilized America and Britain and Europe have shut up shop against the preaching of the gospel, and there is a cynicism, there is a willingness to rationalize and reason and argue as there was among the Jews, but there is little open-hearted reception of the preaching of the Word of God. And whereas the man of God was honored and welcomed and blessed among the heathen, he is belittled and rejected among those who have had far greater privileges. The old saying is, you never miss the water until the well runs dry. There are people in America, and maybe people in this meeting, who think little of the preaching of the Word of God. Let me tell you, you will learn to value it as it ought to be valued when it's taken from you for good. Now let's move on. We can't spend any longer in Paul's escape. We look at his coming into Rome and his encouragement. What encouraged him was the boldness of the believers. If you look at verse 14 and verse 15, you'll read where we find brethren. It's always a good thing, always a nice thing. When you're on a journey, when your heart's heavy, when your body's weary, when the devil's attacking with might and main, to find brethren, to find those of like precious faith in Christ. And we're desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as the Appii Forum and the Three Taverns, two of the most famous landmarks on the most famous road in the world at that time, called the Queen of Roads. And here at approximately 43 and 33 miles from the city of Rome, the disciples met with Paul. Can you just imagine now what that verse is saying? They heard that Paul is coming, and so they make it by one means or another, no doubt many of them on foot. They make it to over 40 miles along the road, and there they meet with him. And they turn with him and they come back toward Rome, rejoicing that although he comes a prisoner, yet this mighty man of God comes amongst them. And Paul was greatly encouraged. He was going to Rome to be tried for his life. He was going to Rome to face the most vicious dictator you can imagine, namely Nero. And yet here are brethren, and as soon as they hear of his coming, they come out and they publicly, boldly identify themselves with him, and they say, in effect, we are with Paul and we are for Paul. Now, there came a time later in his ministry when believers were a lot slower to identify with him. At my first answer, no man stood with me. But on this occasion, how encouraged he was. You see, friendship and fellowship mean a lot to any Christian. No man lives to himself and no man stands alone. The most independent and strong of believers yet needs the stalwart support of the friendship and the fellowship of the people of God. And that's certainly what Paul received here. But surely much more important to him than that was the realization that God had gone before him in the power of the gospel. That God had built a church in Rome that could stand up to all the fury that would be unleashed against it, and that could boldly identify with him. In other words, if there's one lesson Paul learned as he came toward Rome, it was this. I'm not going to Rome looking for the victory. I'm going to Rome knowing that God has been there before me and that the victory has already been won. I'm going in the victory. God is in the midst of us. God has gone before us. He's our vanguard. He's our rear guard. He's surrounding us and he has already gotten the victory. And we're traveling on with the Lord in the victory. My, if we could only realize that. What a difference it would make in our living. What a difference it would make in our witnessing. What a difference it would make in our preaching. You will see what it meant to Paul. Paul, as soon, and we're coming to that just in a moment, as soon as he reached Rome, he immediately went on to the attack. It's exactly what he did. You see, he knew, he was conscious of this conviction that the victory was his, that the Lord was on the throne, that the gospel had prevailed, would prevail, and must prevail. And therefore, as soon as he reached Rome, instead of sitting huddled up in his prison with his arm chained to the soldier, as we find it was the case, for we're told that he was in the custody of one soldier, and he says, verse 20, I am bound with this chain. So instead of sitting chained to the soldier with a big long face and a heavy heart and bemoaning his lot and saying, oh Lord, if there's victory, why am I here? Rather, he says, God has been here before me. The gospel has triumphed and is triumphing and will triumph. And even though I'm chained to a soldier and I can't go out to get the Jews and the Gentiles, yet I can pray and I can send for them and I can bring them in and I can preach to them from my prison house. And that's exactly what he did. As soon as he reached Rome, he hit the devil with every bit of the artillery of the gospel, and he let the devil and his minions know that there was a man of God in Rome. I would to God that every Christian here had the same attitude. I would to God that we had that burning desire that Greenville may know there are people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ here. That Greenville may know that there are people who take the Bible seriously, who do believe in the power and the preaching of the Word of God. That Greenville may know there are people who pray and get answers, who are definitely, genuinely interested in the souls of men and women. I would to God that every one of us would hit the devil with everything that God gives him to hit him with. And that we would truly get on the job for God. Oh, let's not be sitting back bemoaning the days. Too many Christians are doing that. Let's not be sitting back saying, well, now these are the last days. I'm not going to fight with you about that. These are days of apostasy. I have news for you. The apostasy is going to get worse. These are days when men's hearts are hard. Could you tell me a day when men's hearts weren't hard? Let's not be sitting back limiting God. It's a sin to limit God, whether by inactivity or by unbelief or by downright infidelity. It's a sin to limit God. Let's realize that we serve the all-conquering Christ. And while there are those who disagree with my interpretation of the book of Revelation, I'm going to say that chapter 6 in the Revelation first presents Christ before it presents the apostasy. And he is the rider on the white horse who is going forth conquering and to conquer. Let's ride on then in the trail of Calvary's triumph. And let's look to the Lord to do mighty things in and through us, whatever our circumstances. That leads us right into Paul's evangelism. And here, when we come to Paul's evangelism, we have the judgment of the Jews. Paul's first step, as I say, was to hit the devil with everything, and so he started to try to win the Jews. I want you to think of what that meant in terms of crucifixion of the flesh. If any man had cause to hate the Jews and despise his own people, it was Paul. It was because of the Jews and their lies and their threats and their murderous cliques that Paul was in this position. And yet the very first people he tried to win for Christ were the Jews. It's very easy to love those that the flesh is prompted to accept. But there are people who have been bitter toward you. There are people who have been the tools of the devil toward you. It's very easy just to consign them to hell. But that's never the Lord's way. So Paul immediately went after the Jews, and brought them in, told them how he came to be there, and then started testifying to them and expounding of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Do you notice he's still at the same preaching? Notice he hasn't changed his theme. He's still preaching Jesus. Whether to Jew or to Gentile, we preach Christ. No other message. And so he comes to the Jews and he persuades them of Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and of the prophets, from morning until the evening. Now, here is the whole significance of Paul's journey to Rome. When you read the learned commentaries in Acts, you'll find that some of the greatest scholars who have ever looked at this book have been puzzled by this thing. I mentioned it last week, but think of it again. You go right through this book and you'll find that it's a very terse history. Great events are compressed into short passages of Scripture. Indeed, the day of Pentecost itself gets just a few verses. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost is conveyed in one or two verses. And yet here in the 27th chapter of Acts and into the 28th chapter, you have every detail of Paul's journey. And the scholars say, why? There's not a message here of doctrine. Not a word of the cross, or the resurrection, or the blood, or redemption. What's the significance? Here it is. This is what I meant when I said this is one of those events that changes the history of the world. Right through the book of Acts, you have the progressive story of the rejection of Christ by the Jews and the passing of the gospel to the Gentiles. And I believe this story is told us in 27 and 28 of Acts in such detail that we may never forget it. This is how it came about. And here we reach the climax. The Jews close the hearts. And Paul says the gospel, and I believe this is now irrevocably the case until the Lord will come. He says the gospel is going to the Gentiles. And there's a text here I'm going to come back to later in the month. I want you to notice it. I must confess I had overlooked it before. There's a prophecy. They
will receive it. Wonderful text. They will receive it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.